Yeah, love giving Scuba a lead early in the game and letting him work. Dan Dickerson on the call. Draft 2 days away. Ross Tucker threw out trading back is what he wants the Lions to do, or sees the Lions doing. John, your push is always, well, takes two. But I think the scenario would be one of those quarterbacks, a Penix or a Nix, is there at the end of the first round. Someone still needs a QB, and there's your trade partner. Now you move back, and Holmes ends up with another pick inside the top 100.
Yeah, and I mean, that you got to have a trade partner. If you do, there's no problem moving back. I don't have any issue with that. I'll take more bites at the apple with Brad Holmes. And really, part of the excitement about the draft and the confidence is, do you want to give up some of that capital to go up and get the guy that you really want? Or are you okay with trading back, getting more capital, and getting more players that you believe are going to be like the ones that Brad Holmes has already drafted? Like, it's a kind of a win-win scenario.
Well, he's done both, right? He traded up to get JMO. He traded back last year where he took Gibbs and got the extra pick for Laporta. Listen, if everybody loves the idea of moving up because you're going to get a guy, it's bold, you're confident, conviction, and Holmes has talked about those things. He's also talked about trading back. To me, if you're trading up, it's because you think you're getting a guy who's an impact day one dude.
Yep.
I think it's harder to find those guys at corner. Right? Sauce Gardner's kind of an anomaly, and he was taken in the top five. You're not moving up to five. If you take a corner, chances are they're probably not plug and play as a rookie. Chances are. There may be an exception, and maybe that's Holmes' eye for talent. Yeah. He finds the exception. The other thing you could move up for, they've talked about, is offensive line. Well, five guys up front are all solidified. You'd be trading up to get a guy who's not an impact guy.
Not a starter.
Day one. That doesn't mean they still wouldn't be cornerstones. But, John, part of me doesn't see the point of trading up to get guys who aren't playing this year. You can still get cornerstones in rounds, late round one, two, three, and Amon-Ra was in the fourth. Unless you're trading up for a guy who's playing right away, I'd rather move back.
You know, it's again, it's a win-win, I think, with Brad Holmes. Whether you stay, you move up, you move back, and get more capital. I don't know. I'm in between. I really like the idea, and I'm trying to find out and play the scenario in my mind. Is it that I want the excitement for us because it's here in Detroit? And I know,
man, screw that.
But I just simply want an impact player. I want somebody that can come in and be good at day one. And I that's why I really believe doing this in my head, the mental gymnastics as we talk, because it's been the mental gymnastics I've been going through for the past month talking about the draft. What is it? So I'll ask you this. Is there, and I like the fact that there aren't needs on the team. Mm-hmm. They can go anywhere with this pick, literally anywhere. But is there one, if you say this is the most ideal position?
Yeah.
I don't even want to use need, but ideal position to take in the draft.
That's a great way to put it. Ideal position, I want them to go offensive line. Because I see Ragnow's got 1 year, or he's year to year, and Decker's got 1 year left on his deal. And the surest way to go from the edge of the Super Bowl back down would be the offensive line crumbling, because then Goff is not the same. Then the run game is not the same. Then fourth and one is not as gettable. Fourth and two feels like fourth and four or five because you don't have the dudes up front that win. To me, it's offensive line.
So let's take it a step further. Offensive line. And if you're not getting that impact starter right now, and if the scenario plays itself out that, hey, all five guys play the entirity of the season. Not likely, but sure. if they play the entirety of the season or the majority of the season, do you take a tackle that might be able to help inside as well?
Yeah, swing guy.
And in the thought that, okay, Taylor Decker is in his last year of his contract, do you want to extend him? They've talked, or he has talked about being in conversations with extending him, playing his whole career here. Eventually, Sewell is going to go over to play left tackle. Do you want to continue to have that roadblock in place that is Taylor Decker, or just make the move? Taylor Decker lives with it if he wants to stay here, and you draft your next right tackle that can, in the meantime, be a guy that can sub in for you at other positions.
Yeah, I feel like the offensive line pick is an eye on the prize pick. This is foundational football. This is what wins games. I would love the offensive line. The thing that people continue to point to as most likely is corner. I'm not going to be mad if they sit at 29 and draft a corner and a guy who
would
contributes.
You be upset if they moved up to get a corner?
That guy better be a guy that makes an impact right away. Otherwise, I'm giving up capital, right? I'm giving up second or third round picks to go up and get a guy. He has to be a cut above.
Okay, so if that's the case, like, and I understand that. I don't want to argue the point. I would always prefer to take an offensive lineman. But Amik Robertson, do you think he is a CB1 or CB2 in this league?
No.
All right, so then you have the opportunity to trade up, get a corner that might be a day one starter.
And they've done their work.
They have. They've had a lot of
them in. And Arnold, the corner out of Alabama, they've done their work on those guys. We're going to talk about draft night in the moment and the opportunity for the city of Detroit. When Caleb Williams gets selected first overall for the Chicago Bears, how should he be greeted? We'll get to that after the news with Heather.
You guys, there is a serial pooper on the loose in Dearborn, defacing headstones and grave sites.
Oh,
at Northview Cemetery.
In a graveyard?
Yeah, yes. The Dearborn Police Department has been called to the cemetery 7 times since February 25th. That's when they received their first call about this pooper on the loose. A spokesperson says this pooper is random, always picking different locations each time they go. So far, police have 0 leads. But they do say this pooper wears dark clothes, a hoodie, and leaves a big mess behind, including used toilet paper.
Oh, so he actually drops trowel and does it there.
Yeah, and I'm glad
doesn't
he said
come
he.
Prepared.
Yeah, yeah, because it's well, got to be a man,
yeah,
right?
I come would on, think so, ladies. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, you never know. You don't know. But
serial killers, serial poopers. Yeah. I'm guessing majority of them are probably dudes.
I do too, but you just don't know.
And there's no leads.
No leads except the poop, which, I mean, I guess technically you could like run a DNA test on, but they said, hey, we don't got time for that. We've got more serious crimes that take precedent over poop. But, you know. It could happen. You never know. A man and a teenage girl have been arrested after a large fight at a Warren High School broke out on Monday and landed a police officer in the hospital. So Warren police officers were called to Lincoln High School. This was right before 3 p.m. as school was letting out because there was a big fight that broke out, including, you know, several people. When officers showed up, they went to arrest an adult male. But during that arrest, they say this teenage girl interjected herself and began to assault a female officer. They believe that she hit the female officer on the head from behind, and the officer just went right down to the ground. That officer is currently listed in serious yet stable condition at the hospital with a possible concussion. And the investigation is still ongoing. They believe, though, that neither this adult male or this teenager were actually students or affiliated with Lincoln High School.
Mm-hmm.
They were just there. And they have not said what prompted that initial fight or who else may have been involved or arrested.
Crazy.
And they got to decide if they're going to charge this teen.
Right.
I don't know her age, just a teen as an adult or as a juvenile. You'll see. Oh, you guys, listen to this. A Milwaukee Brewers pitcher had to be taken to the hospital after being hit in the neck by a ball during batting practice on Monday afternoon at Pittsburgh's PNC Park. Oh, my goodness. The medical staffs from both teams were there to treat Jacob Junis on the field. They treated him for about approximately 20 minutes before they loaded him in an ambulance, took him to the hospital. The Brewers did release a statement saying that he is conscious, alert, and responsive, and that he was basically taken to the hospital just for further evaluation to make sure he's okay. But man,
I was looking more into this story because it just says the neck. Like, I don't know if he was hit, like, was he facing away and hit the back of the neck, or was he like, hit in the throat?
Like the esophagus.
Yeah. The scariest injury I ever had was taking a karate chop to the neck in my esophagus, and it was so scary, and I mean, couldn't talk for like a week.
Yeah, probably
the test that they had to do. Yeah, it was awful.
Yuck. So according to some non-scientific data, Michigan Costco shoppers love the Kirkland French vodka. That's apparently their number one item they buy at Costco. The most popular items besides that at Costco include the Saunders sea salt caramels.
Okay.
That's on the list.
That.
The Kirkland maple syrup,
We do that all the time.
Do you do that?
Yep, yep. Affordable.
Do you happen to have a Woozoo Globe fan at your house?
No, I don't have.
It's like the circle fan.
Well, apparently that's super popular.
Really?
I don't have one, but I looked it up.
Does it glow?
I looked it up too. No, no, a globe.
Oh, globe.
Fan, not glow fan. Although that would be cool if it was a glow fan. Yeah. If you haven't had these are to die for. The Reese's Dipped Animal Crackers.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it depends on the Costco you go to.
Oh, they're so good. No, they don't all have them, but of course you get the giant Costco bag. They're great. And then, of course, Costco gas.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Who doesn't get Costco gas?
Me.
You're not a member. I take it. Right.
No, I am a member. I love Costco. I just went yesterday.
You don't get the gas?
Heather.
Yep. Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
You got to find a plug-in somewhere. Yeah.
Can you plug in there? Do they? Is it a discounted electricity?
I'll have to ask next time. Heather with the news.
Where can I put my extension cord?
It's 97.1. We have a chance as a city to rise to the moment. Thursday night, the draft is in our backyard, downtown Detroit. And with the number one pick, it's the Chicago Bears. They're going to draft Caleb Williams, and he's going to be greeted with...
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
And don't get me wrong, old school booze will do the trick, and I'm sure that's, you know, how it goes most cities, most years. This is our rival... One of the rivals of the Lions. This is Jared Goff's division, his city. He's a number one pick. And I do feel like the most appropriate way to greet Caleb Williams is with the Jared Goff chants. And I want to know if people agree with that. Are we on board as a city? Can we get down with this movement? People are going to throw some boos. But I think Jared Goff it's the same energy as the playoff win against Matthew Stafford. It's about our guy. That's where the chant came from. We got our guy, Jared Goff. That, to me, is the best way to greet Caleb Williams on Thursday night.
Well, we've heard that chant in a number of different scenarios. Obviously, first playoff game, opposing quarterback gets announced, everybody's chanting Jared Goff. Love that. At the Red Wings games, at other venues, we've heard the Jared Goff chants. And there's a unique set of circumstances in this draft. And you always hear Roger Goodell gets up there. Everybody boos him. He has, he's owned it, and he's kind of made it one of his little shticks, and people are going to boo him anyway. But when you have a rival, and that is the Chicago Bears, who have the number one overall pick, and the draft is being hosted in your city, you absolutely need to do something unique and different, because any city you go to, whether it was in Nashville, whether it was in, pick any city, boos are what people do.
Yeah.
When they announce Caleb Williams, the chant should be Jared Goff, and it should be so loud that you can barely hear Roger Goodell make the Caleb Williams pick. Pick is in.
From the front of the stage all the way down to Hart Plaza, everyone's going to know when the pick is in. And when it's Caleb Williams and the city of Detroit has rallied around their own and they have a chance to do it again in the face of one of your rivals trying to make their big moment happen. And for anybody who thinks, oh, this is petty, this isn't classy, this is sports, this is rivalries. For anybody who says, and I want to head this off at the pass, what about bulletin board material and fueling the fire? That is a loser's mindset. The Detroit Lions are finally a winner.
King
of the
North.
Act like it. Oh, what if Caleb Williams uses this as extra motivation in the offseason? Good. Knock your socks off. The Lions are going to be motivated as anybody in the league to finish what they didn't do last year, win the whole thing. Caleb Williams as a rookie can't be someone that fears you. Caleb Williams as a 10-year vet can't be someone who you fear because you trust what you're building, who you have in your locker room, the direction of your franchise. Bring it on is the attitude, not... Oh, no, what if this is used in a montage down the line and we look bad? You don't think like that. That is gone. That is the Lions mentality of yesteryear. Those are fans who didn't know better. Now we know better. We've been shown better. Act like it.
This is a home game. There's no different than hosting a playoff game where you want to make sure that the opposing quarterbacks know who is the best quarterback today. Jared Goff. You did it back in January. It's time to do it again. This is absolutely a home game. It's a rivalry. It's one of the things that sports does best. Now let it be known.
We have a ticket texter who says, instead of going with Jared Goff, Charmin Soft. You think Caleb's soft. Another one says,
yeah.
Cry to mama.
Yes. I mean, okay, I could insert any cat joke at this time. I won't because I don't want to offend you.
Look at your restraint. It's unbelievable. Does Caleb own a cat?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's talked about it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
his cats.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
And his pink phone. His
I've seen the like pink all phone, of these things. The nail polish people none pointed that out. Yeah,
none of these mean he is a good or bad quarterback. These are just things that fans will get a chance to pick on him about. Caleb. This is sports. It's okay.
Caleb Williams cats. We'll take a look. Matt in St. Clair Shores. You're on 97.1.
Hey, all due respect, guys, there isn't a QB1 that's in, or I'm not a sorry QB1, but a cornerback one in this draft. Quinny Mitchell comes from a group of five conference that's run heavy. Jim can tell you, as a fellow Chippewa, there aren't good quarterbacks throwing to good receivers there. If we trade up to the mid round of the first round, or trade to the mid of the first round to get Quinion Mitchell, and trade for our first-round pick, which is going to be a great offensive lineman that's going to plug the line, and our second-round pick, which is going to solidify our defense, for taking a flyer on a cornerback who, come on, guys, he doesn't have the experience. There hasn't been a CB1 out of the NFL draft since Sauce Gardner, and before that, it wasn't even Charles. It was Deion Sanders. So in the last 40 or so years, there have been two CB1s that truly came out of the first round. Quinion's not going to be it. It's a complete gamble. If you really want to do something with the first pick to get a CB1, you got to trade it and go get somebody. But it's not going to be Quinion Mitchell, and we got to stop pretending like it is. It's a cute story because he's super close. But Quinion Mitchell,
oh no,
great player, but we need a CB1.
I don't care that he's from Toledo or from a run heavy. I'll give you Devin Witherspoon last year, run heavy Big Ten, and he was lights out for Seattle last year.
But he faced people like C.J. Stroud and, say what you will, J.J. McCartney or McCarthy, team that Toledo lost to, put up 17 points in the MAC championship game. Like, at least Devin Witherspoon had competition against him. Bert Emanuel Jr. isn't coming through that door to let you up for 150-yard passing.
Matt, I appreciate the Bert Emanuel. No one else got that. That's the CMU running quarterback. Yeah. Matt, what if it's not a Mac corner? What if it's Terrion Arnold, the guy that many people thought was the better corner at Alabama over Kool-Aid McKinstry? What if they trade it for him?
If we're swapping first, I'm giving you, like, I'm more okay with that, but I don't want to jump up 15 picks for, I guess I'm concerned about getting a rookie cornerback who rookie cornerbacks are constantly picked on in the league and saying this rookie cornerback is going to be our savior. If you want to take that number one pick and trade it to somebody's malcontent cornerback who has something to prove on a couple of years. I love Jair Alexander for a first-round pick, a guy that you can plug in and stop on that side. And guess what? You're giving up. Yeah, give Green Bay a first round to bring back a sixth. Why? You know why we wouldn't give up a first for Snead and that kind of money? Like, that's how you solidify one side of the field. You don't just bring in a rookie cornerback. It's so hard to be chasing Justin Jefferson, DJ Moore, Christian Watson.
Matt, I'm with you, but I think the pushback from the Lions would be we're not drafting Mitchell or Arnold for 2024. We're drafting him for the next 8 years, or
because the Super Bowl window is open now.
Well, they don't care, Matt. I don't know, Matt. We can have that debate. They don't view it that way. So, I mean, that's part of the debate here. Is Brad Holmes is not going to compromise long term for short term. He's not going to push all his chips in, which is why the trade up is interesting to begin with, because the trade up is by definition cashing in some chips. He's done it before. Would he do it for a corner? They've done the most work on corners is why we've connected those dots. It doesn't mean anything, John. They may trade up for an edge rusher and go, well, those guys are actually worth it. Those guys can make an impact as a rookie and over the next 5 to 7 years.
Right, and just a little pushback on the whole Devin Witherspoon thing. They did not face Ohio State. He did not face C.J. Stroud. He did face J.J. McCarthy. And what was the toughest game that Michigan had in that season, especially looking at the way the defense played Michigan's offense?
Yeah, McCartney really struggled.
Yes.
I thought he was a little hypercritical of CB1s, too. I mean, to say Charles Woodson and then another guy, Champ Bailey, weren't CB1s coming out as awfully, awfully high standard.
Was Darrell Revis a number one corner? First round pick out of
Pitt,
right?
I think it was like right? a 14th pick or something like that. I think people thought he was going to be good, not as good as he was. My problem with going corner if you're going to trade up is I look at last year's draft, and Christian Gonzalez went 17th right before Campbell. He had a really good rookie year. He graded over an 80 on PFF. I don't think any of these corners are as good as him. Now, cross-comparing drafts is one thing, but also you're talking about trading into that pick range, and you're going to get a corner who, at least in my opinion, isn't nearly as good as him. I kind of prescribe to the caller's theory in terms of rookie CBs take some time, man.
They can.
Overall,
you
yes.
know, and Holmes has also said, you know, I can get my corners later. You know, he usually draft a corner somewhere. But
yeah, in a perfect world, or as John said, ideal, I would love to get an offensive lineman at their pick at 29, or if you got to do a little minor maneuvering to make sure you get somebody, fine. And then defense in the second and the third, edge and corner, based on, you know, who's got the higher grade and who you can actually get. That, to me, would be an ideal use of the first three picks.
Yeah. I think the caller's point was, and he just didn't sum it up maybe the right way, was it's unless there is a CB1 in these, you're just as likely to find a good corner in rounds 2, 3, and 4 in the NFL draft as you are round one.
All right, we got ticket text coming in on Draft Talk. Hello, 2 days away. We welcome it. And the Jared Goff chance. Is that the best way to greet Caleb Williams on Thursday night? It's 97.1.
Hey, the draft is here. A playoff season is here in hockey and in the NBA. So why not watch all these great events and dive into the best pool in history? That's Stadium Swimming. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all these moments at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen at Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch all your sporting events. You've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
That's what it ought to sound like
Thursday
night. Yeah, louder even. Welcome to the division. Welcome to Detroit. Welcome to Jared Goff City. That's how you welcome Caleb Williams. I think he should be greeted with Jared Goff chants. And we got a ticket texter who says, biggest moment of his life, and you want to ruin it by chanting someone else's name? Classy. Welcome to sports. Welcome to rivalries. Come on, buddy. Chicago's not going to do us any favors.
Right. I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot, you think they would have any amount of quote-unquote respect for the number one pick for the Detroit Lions? No. This is sports. This is rivalry. This is one of those few moments. And I mentioned, this is a home game for the Detroit Lions. It is on our turf. It is on our terms. And we set those terms.
And again, I think it's the same energy as that home playoff game, to your point about home field.
Yeah.
That was all the talk was about Stafford's return. And like it was a storyline for sure. But the city of Detroit said it's not about your guy, it's about our guy. When Caleb gets drafted and the Bears fans make the trip in and they're ready to sub, it's not about your guy. Reminder, who's in first? It's about our guy.
Yeah, and let's go back. When they announced that the draft was going to be in Detroit, like we had no idea at that time that we would be in this position. Coming off a trip to the NFC Championship game, we were probably at that time thinking, ooh, wonder what top 10 pick we'll pick. Because that's 3-13-1. Yeah. Who thought that we were going to be in this position?
John, I've been called a lot of names on the ticket text. This is a first.
Oh, let's hear what this is.
Chanting Jared Goff when Caleb Williams' name is called is the most white trash thing I have ever heard. I'm ashamed of you guys thinking of that, signed Steve in Novi. I've been called a lot of things. White trash might be the first time.
Wow. I can't support that one.
No. He might be referring to you as white trash, too. You agreed with it.
That's fine.
Were you born in Livonia?
I was born in Livonia.
Okay.
What's
everybody's got it. I'm just kidding.
That's right. Example case one right here.
Some ticket text coming in on the draft and the philosophy. Again, we are counting down the days. I got the graphics on the screen. We're playing the little sounder coming back. It says, I would only be disappointed if they trade back if Powers Johnson is there. Mike listening on the Odyssey app. The idea that, hey, they may trade back if someone wants a quarterback, but you don't want to bypass a good football player either.
Right.
If the Lions want Jackson Powers Johnson and will take a defensive player in the second round, that's the way to go. The O-line's getting old and injured. They need to address it in this draft and not a year from now. Trade-up scenario. Says trade-up for Byron Murphy all day. If he's there 16 to 20, that's the guy to get. That's from Carl on the ticket text. All options on the table with Brad Holmes. Byron Murphy. People think he might end up being the best defensive player in this draft. I don't know. Lions already have Aleem McNeil, and they just signed DJ Reader. Doesn't mean they bypass the best player available, but I certainly wouldn't feel like I have to trade up to go get a player at a position that I feel like I'm pretty well set at.
Right. If you're going to trade up, you're basically creating the opportunity to go get, fill a need with that best player available.
People having issues with our last caller who talked about corners and number one corners. Jalen Ramsey, Lattimore, Sauce, Alexander, Pat Surtain, Patrick Peterson, Revis. The list goes on. First round corners have turned out to be studs in the last 20 years. You just have to identify the guy. They're there.
Yeah.
Did that idiot say Hall of Fame corner Charles Woodson wasn't a number one corner? Dumbest call of the year. Signed Josh.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure the point he was trying to make. Was he saying like Woodson was the first corner drafted in his draft year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fourth overall, top five pick, yeah. And he played some safety, but he was also a corner. I don't even know what the guy was trying to say. He's like, you go all the way back to Deion Sanders.
No, I mean, you go back to Deion Sanders, and I mean, okay, you got Sean Springs was a third overall pick. He was a number one corner and played especially well. Champ Bailey was a teammate of mine, and he was a stud. Patrick Peterson, you know, I mean, there's plenty of Tre'Davious White, who was a 27th overall pick. Plenty of guys that were number one corners or, you know, top line corners.
You can tell draft coverage is ramping up because Doug and Gator are not in the studio with us right now.
That's correct.
They are
at the draft headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Wild Wings.